When you think of Las Vegas, what comes to mind? Is it the Strip? Is it Fremont Street, Summerlin, the Arts District? What about Carolyn and Oscar Goodman? The mayor's Goodman have dominated the city's political scene for two decades. After her husband was mayor, Carolyn Goodman won her first term in 2011. And today we begin an occasional series talking to mayors throughout Nevada, beginning with Mayor Carolyn Goodman. Mayor Goodman, welcome back to the program.
Thank you for choosing me first. I must be the oldest one, is why you're doing
it. No, I'm not even going to touch that question. We have to talk about the pandemic. Okay. The pandemic and COVID has dominated all of our lives for nearly 2 years. On January 9th, your State of the City address, you called for the community to come together to continue to fight the coronavirus, to reinvigorate the economy. I want to know how you would grade the efforts of Las Vegans in that fight.
As far as the people, awesome. We've been terrific. I think there's been a lot of aggravation, and I have my own opinions as to what I would have done, and I thought we were a little rough, especially since we count almost 100% on tourism until we diversify. So that's it in a nutshell, I would try to say, without taking up an hour.
She's just saying that because I told her to be a little shorter with some of her answers.
You can, because I've been on
talk
before.
Longer.
No. I'm nervous with you. You make me scared that I'm going too long.
No, don't be nervous.
I'm not nervous.
I'll cut you off.
He's so nice.
So what have you, during the pandemic, what have you learned about yourself? Well, this is a person, more personal.
I think, truly I have learned that I am who I am. I've not been one who's had trouble being in her own skin. Fortunately for me, I was the daughter of a physician. I have a son who's a doctor. And I think that's made me, it was always take an aspirin and go to bed, drink plenty of fluids. And that means for everything. And so if it's going to be, I'll handle it when it comes along. And I've had my own illness issues with which to deal over the years. And it's just do it. That's my whole feeling. Do what they tell you and get good doctors and make sure you're not the first one that they're cutting open, that they've done it 1,000 times before. And it's wonderful to have physicians that are great talent and a great bedside manner, but the bedside manner should pale in comparison to that they've done it before and they're going to take care of you and then listen to them and listen to your body.
Yeah, you want an expert. You want somebody very. And part of the reason I bring that up is because in early August, you said you tested positive for COVID-19 after having been vaccinated. You had the Delta virus. I wonder, after you found that out, what kind of fears you had? What went through your head when you tested positive?
I was hopeful, because that's what we'd been told, that if in fact you contracted some variation of the virus, that having had the shots before, that it would be much milder. And so I did in December. I had my first shot, the second shot 3 weeks later in January, and then this came on. I really felt just without energy. I remember having chills. And then it went through the whole series of whys, and I found out that, yes, I was positive. But it was the doctor said, they all concurred that lucky for you that you had your vaccinations.
You know, there was a mayor in Austria who said something that was on the internet. She talked about how it changed life in her city. And she said this, the pandemic changed so many things, the way we live together in our city, but also ourselves. Despite physical distance, people have shown solidarity and cohesion, especially in the beginning of this crisis. Mayor Goodman, I wonder what it's revealed to you or reinforced for you about Las Vegans.
We're a bunch of unique people. We come from many cultures, backgrounds, religions, races, and we all came here for the same reason, to live in Las Vegas and be part of its growth, development, and rise. And it was confirmed that we are all different with different attitudes about it. I'm proud of our people, and my thought was for those who wanted to stay home and were nervous, that's part of our population, that's world, that's life. Everybody has a different feeling about something, and they're entitled for themselves to have the right to take care of themselves. And so we saw that. We saw many people who didn't want to come out. And then we did, of course, see the strain on our community for those who were forced to shelter in place. Very difficult.
As you mentioned a bit earlier, the economy really took a toll. What's it look like now? From you know, I guess from city tax rolls, from the city's point of view, what's it feel like at the city right now? Are we back to normal? Where are we?
I don't know what normal is, actually. I think where we are, though, and what I've seen is the sales tax, and if you think it through, has gone been very, very forceful, very high, because all the money coming from the feds to encourage people and help them get through different financial and economic times without a job and everything else, they're spending. They're fixing their homes or they're shopping more. And so sales tax has just really been a savior for the city, and I'm sure actually for the county, and I would assume the state as well. But it's been a really challenging time. And where we are now, during the recession, of course, we learned right then and there, tighten your belt. We're in for a big ride here. So When I came into office, of course, the recession started in 2008. I came in 11 in the depths of it. And it was challenging. Our city staff, we let and had people retire early. We cut out a lot of jobs. And so in a way, we sort of had a sense of what to do and how to do it when we got hit by this virus.
Yeah. We're speaking with Las Vegas Mayor Carolyn Goodman. She's serving her third and final term in the city's top elected position, and she's the first in our occasional series talking with mayors in Nevada. Now, over the last, I'd say, almost two years now of this pandemic, there must have been some particularly challenging moments. Does anything stick out in your mind?
Oh, yeah, the shutdown. It was a killer. I was vocal. I was on national TV, vocal, don't shut us down. And we stand alone, we in Las Vegas and in Nevada, because even though Hawaii is tourist-based and New Orleans is tourist-based, and there are a lot of places that are really rely on tourists, it is not all-consuming as it is here, in particular in southern Nevada. And to close the hotels, and beyond that, to close the schools, I went ballistic. And I think when I was last on, we touched on that. But the far-reaching effects of keeping children out of school and quarantining them at home. And here we are still. We're back. I don't see the change except the drastic pressures on the family, on home violence, on lack of learning. Our children were not in a very good academic position overall in relation to the nation. And, of course, taking a year out of their education, being homeschooled by their parents, unless they could afford to have tutors come in, which only some can do that.
Do you think they should have been in school?
Oh, I would never have closed the school system. There were indications way back in the beginning. What do you do when you, as soon as you have children and you put them in a social environment, they come home and they have a cold or they have a flu or they have an upset stomach, and it goes right through your family, but that's the way they build their immune system. And so keeping these children out of school and then the far-reaching effects psychologically, emotionally, physically, to say nothing of the lost academics. And so anybody who reads or has learned that, what do you do when you meet somebody who is sick? You keep your distance. You certainly don't touch them without immediately washing your hands or cleansing. And masks. I've seen people over the years here, even in Las Vegas over the years, wearing masks.
Yeah.
So that's where it would have been. I mean, they're just, you know, hindsight's great. But we did speak to the very issue of don't close the schools, don't shut us down. It's a killer.
And I want to point this out. You do have a lot of experience with schools. You founded the Meadows Private School here in Las Vegas. I don't know how much of a part of it that the school you are anymore. now that you're mayor, but I just want people to know that. I wonder, though, so you have that in your background. You were looking at how the Clark County School District was handling things. What do you think they did right?
The school district?
Yes.
What I would say is each person does their best, and I believe that. But over the years, going back into when we first came here, and I think I'd mentioned to you before, Clark County School District was number two in the nation when I was doing the research in the mid-60s before we moved here.
Number two is what?
Number two in academic standing in the nation.
I've read stories about that in the early 70s, number three.
And so what happened, of course, was this enormous population explosion. And with that comes, are you prepared? Do you know what you're doing? Have you gone to educators and so on? And it was evident to me because I did find and had received a zone variance for our four children in the public school sector. And I believe in public education. But then it became evident clearly to me in the early 70s that we needed to learn, first of all, computers were already right out there, and that we were going to be bilingual in Spanish. And the earlier you start these things in a child's life, the better, especially in the second language. And so when I went to the superintendent of schools, he said, I don't have the money to do that, Mrs. Goodman. And so that's where I started to talk to other families. And I said, we're not going to take federal money. We're not going to take state or city money. We're going to make this a not-for-profit school that can own itself. But we are going to go ahead and take in academically ambitious children that really want to learn and have a support system. And so for 26 years, I worked on that school, which became extremely successful. We kept administrative costs to a bare minimum. 80 cents of every dollar was in the classroom with the child and with the teacher. We had the finest teachers, and our money was in there. And you can take a great teacher and put them in a closet with 30 children. And
From that experience,
I learned a lot.
You learned a lot. And again, with all that experience, you know, you did say, well, everybody does their best. But I want to know specifically what you think Clark County School District did well during the pandemic, if you think they did anything well.
I think they were trying to keep their head above water. The problems, see, that was the whole problem, the way it was handled from the beginning. Everybody did their best to do the right thing based on the advice that was coming out of the medical complex.
Yeah, which was
everybody
changing,
was trying,
as they
right?
Learned, yeah.
And so they were just reactive. How could you possibly close down a school district with 320,000 children? I mean, insanity. And yet there was no plan. There was no pattern set out. What are we going to do? How are we going to get out of it? We're just going to go ahead and act. We're going to close down the hotels, which means income stops, not only for the people, which is the most important part, but for every functioning public service.
Don't you think they could have said to you, though, in fairness, we don't know what's going on. We're afraid
right.
of all these people dying.
Truth.
So
truth.
It's
tell us the truth. We're adults and we live here, and tell us the truth and say, we don't know for sure. No, we don't know how long the vaccines are going to be significant. We would like to, this is what we're suggesting. This is not mandating. This is, when you look at polio, for instance, President Roosevelt got it in 1932. We didn't get the Salk vaccine till 1952, 20 years for that. And so the children and that epidemic that we had, it wasn't a pandemic by any means, but viruses, we're going to continue to have viruses. And to be overreactive and not criticizing anybody, but to go ahead and take such huge restrictions without thinking through, how are we going to bring this back? How are we going to open up? What are we going to do with these children and the pressure it's putting on with the family?
So, Mayor Goodman, I want to get away from the pandemic and what happened during that for a while. Recently, a Las Vegas Review Journal columnist wrote this in a column. Why will it take between 10 and 20 years to upgrade the highway between Las Vegas and Phoenix to interstate status? Do you think it's important for Southern Nevada to get that I-11 project going?
Well, I know there's been a tremendous amount of concentration on that. We've seen the results through Nevada in the southern part, and it would be nice to have it going up north and into Canada one day. I'm not sure the timeline you've suggested is accurate. I don't know how many people want to come here from Phoenix or what their product is and freight that they're going to be shipping through. More importantly to me is to put all the pressure we can on California electeds and their legislature to widen the I-15 from Barstow to State Line throughout California. They have 4 and 5 lanes in each direction. Unfortunately, between Barstow and Las Vegas, it's only 2 lanes in each direction. And when you look right now, every time you turn on the news, you hear about the cargo that is waiting outside of LA and stockpiling in ships off the freight off of Long Beach and San Diego. And they're waiting for furniture and their Christmas presents. And it is all the fact that it's just a huge logjam that's costing a fortune sitting out there. That widening, it's about 114 miles, probably costs I was told by one of our engineers, about a $1.8 billion to widen that 114 miles. That needs to happen immediately. Long range, the I-11, terrific. But we have about 33, what brought us out of, started bringing us out of COVID was the drivers coming in from Southern California. About 30% of our tourist base are regulars coming back and forth. And to get from L.A. to Las Vegas on a good day, it's probably about 3.5-4 hours. Returning on a Sunday, it's 9 and 10 hours, and that's because you've got freight, and really and truly the rest of the country doesn't care so much about Nevada, and we would be the beneficiaries of this as we open up the logjam in the harbors and talk freight, movement of freight into the belly of the country. The I-15 in the south connects to the I-10, midway it connects to the I-30, and going more towards the north, the I-70. So it needs to have people say, enough, do this. I bet you if they can get the environmental clearance, because you know there's talk about Brightline and a speed train, that's for passengers. We're in a freight need mode right now.
Is anybody listening to you?
Well, I know my husband is, and my 4 kids and their families, they're sick of it. But when they go back and forth to Southern California, you better believe we hear all the time, yes, Mayor, you're right, say it again. And I've been talking about this for 11 years, so obviously. But I'm a resilient soul. I'm going to keep talking about it till California. And no, I know the Commissioner Siegerbloom would like to see it happen. He had just been discussing it, and he'd like Nevada to pay for it. But no. No Nevada pay. Nevada's been paying for Nevada. This is California, and they need to move their products that are coming in from Taiwan, Korea, China, that do these massive products for the Amazons of the world and for everything else. And so this is critical economically. It's sitting stockpiling. It's costing the nation a fortune.
I want to talk about some other economic developments, redevelopments. Somebody texted me as you're speaking and said, can you ask about the Oakland A's possibly relocating to Las Vegas? Are there efforts right now to get that done?
You know, I think they'd really like to move here. I'm not sure they don't continue to use us as a wedge. That's happened to us before. I think we've all become a little concerned because we are on the hook for the Allegiant Stadium. That's a magnificent facility. But because it's general obligation bonds, if in fact the shutdown had continued, we were pretty close not to be able to pay our bonds on that because they're obligation, not revenue bonds. And so to pick on another stadium. I'm sure they would put funding into a new stadium, but I don't think there's much of an appetite for the public to get behind it, and maybe private different types of bonds. The conversations continue, and I do believe the Summerlin, the Howard Hughes Corporation, has been in dialogue too, and of course because they have already their local farm club stadium for the A's, I think they'd be very interested. And to me, private funding, great. Just please, no more taxes on us for doing things. And I really, Mark Davis has done a great job and his team, and I think we've embraced our Raiders. Hopefully they keep going, but as much as we have the Golden Knights, which have been huge, great success.
I want to get back to something you and your husband are very passionate about, and that is the redevelopment of downtown Las Vegas. When your husband, Oscar Mayer, was Goodman, there was a lot of skeptics out there when he talked about wanting downtown. The heart of downtown has to beat strongly for the rest of the city to work well. And I wonder if you feel like his vision and your vision has been fulfilled, or is there a lot more to be done?
Oh, there's tons to be done. But when he took over in 1999, that was his first year, downtown was boarded up, prostitution, drugs, murders. It was horrible. And we have made great progress. We've also created a cultural center. Obviously, it's a government center because the federal building's there. And then we have the state, the county, the city, Supreme Court building. I mean, there's such a center to the government in the heart, but we're also become a cultural center. So the whole change of people because of technology, we just see this huge interest and population coming down constantly. They want to be in touch. They want these taverns, the breweries, the bands. On our Fremont Street experience, we have these bands that play every weekend. It's been free to the public. We have a conveyance, a little bus that goes around on, or several of them. It's a freeway for free. We used to do everything for free in Las Vegas. Parking was free.
Yeah, let's get that back.
And so we want to create that feeling of we really want you. We have all the museums. Of course, we have Discovery, the Mob Museum, the Neon Museum. Our museums have just been phenomenal. And the Smith Center, and now with the World Market Center bringing us a small convention facility. And then Circa, I mean, the hotels, the energy in the heart of the city in the 18B in the Arts District has just been remarkable. And yes, we're working very hard with Metro to make sure it's an inviting place. And we're seeing the results of that effort.
I don't want to belabor it. There are a lot of things that are happening, especially in the Arts District. It was Fremont East that really took off. Yes. Now the Arts District really is taking off.
Shea, God bless him, was very, very instrumental in bringing a focus, a positive focus, along with that energy of young people and the millennials. Just taking a look. It was for the look. And what was he going to do next? So that was helpful.
Abel Bakery, Three Sheets, Craft House, Hop Nuts, Huddle Brewing Company.
Boy, you drink a lot.
The beer. Well, here's why I don't drink a lot there, and this is what I want to get to. There's no parking. What are you going to do about parking?
It's wonderful. I just love our people, and Joe, you're part of it, because what we hear all the time is why we react. So we've been working on parking, and as I mentioned, we'd like as much of it to be a marriage of public and private. So right now we're looking, and I'm not sure what I'm allowed to share and what I'm not. So I better
share it all.
You asked me if I had
you're
a
in
face.
Charge. You're
he
in charge.
Asked me if I had a facelift. So anyway, this guy is really terrific. I'm looking at him. He's sort of cute, and I'm not allowed to say that. And it looks like he had a facelift. I did not have a facelift. But anyway, thank you for asking. And all I can assure you is we're working on parking. We have a lot of issues. We're so much like every other city. But because we've really increase this foot traffic with these taverns, these restaurants, these boutique shopping and antiques. And there's so much energy downtown, and Circa has certainly made that explode. The Plaza, the El Cortez, the hotels are so significant to creating this energy and this walkability. But you're right, and we are working on it. To my knowledge, I can say this. We have three right now that are in the works, and probably something will be announced soon.
Okay. Recently, I really
he's
within...
He's not even blushing, audience. I just want you to know I've just said he was cute, and he's not even blushing.
Take that with a grain of salt. Let me put it that way. You recently made news. You said you want the 2024 Republican National Convention here.
No. That's inaccurate. You read that?
All right. I just read that.
Because the newspaper
what
will print.
What's accurate
is they sent a letter to the mayor of Las Vegas, which is a highly regarded, world-renowned office. And they wanted to know, would we, the city of Las Vegas, be interested in proposing?
And you said yes.
And we wrote back. I immediately called the head of the Republican Party, and then I did go out and contact a head of our convention center to let them know, and that's not our role.
So it wasn't your initial...
No, we will take anything. Every convention, the independent convention that doesn't exist, the DNC, in a flash, the answer is yes, we want business.
Do you think partisan politics, because we're really in a democratically majority county,
yes,
Clark
yes,
County,
we are.
Do you think that would play a part in the Republican Party not or figuring out who they want to select?
Well, certainly who they want to select is very, very important as to the success of what happens in the next election. But I find that it's very healthy. I like the dialogue. And for those of your listeners who don't know, we have three Democrats and three Republicans on the city council. We have three men, three women, and we have a diverse group on the city council. And the city council and the mayor are responsible for anything within the 155 square miles of the city.
By the way, you really have some action going on among the city council people.
But what gives me as
a possible...
I've been 15 years registered as a nonpartisan. And it is a wonderful position to be in, nonpartisan, because trying to pull the two sides together, because both sides have issues. They both have very positive contributions.
But do you dislike it when it gets down to the name calling that we're seeing and the allegations of a physical confrontation? Oh. Do you pull them aside and box their ears? What do you do?
Well, I think I was had an ethics violation because I cut somebody off. And I have that power from the chair after he ranted for a long time. And he was rude. And I was brought up to be polite and kind to everybody, or at least be respectful. And I don't like vulgarities. And so my children don't use them either.
We've only got 30 seconds. Do you endorse anybody to replace you?
I would not tell you that as long as I don't know and don't scream it out at night.